All right. What's going on, everybody? Back, another episode of Keeling's Corner. Today I'm here solo. Mikey is not with us today as I'm recording this on a Thursday. Something's happened, couldn't record on Wednesday, so we had to record on a Thursday, you know, but it doesn't matter. We're still getting you an episode this week. So I'm going to give you a basic rundown about what we're going to be talking about today. If you want to skip to any part, you know, in this podcast, you know, go ahead and do it. So we're going to start talking about the Nets. Then we're going to move on to the Steelers, and then we're going to move on to the Yankees. So basically, basketball, football, baseball, not just the Steelers, Yankees, Nets, but, you know, very specific things, especially locally with the Nets and the Yankees, you know, with Tampa playing at the Yankee spring training facility. You know, that's their new home for 2025. That's very, you know, interesting as a Major League Baseball team is going to be playing in a stadium where there's only 11,000 fans, you know, at maximum capacity. But we'll get to that. All right. So I want to start off with the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks. Needless to say, Knicks fans, you got to be a little worried. You certainly have to be like, did we mess up here? Did we, you know, jump the gun? Did we trade for Karl Anthony Towns? Was going the superstar route the wrong move? And coming from a Nets fan, someone who watched Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden play in Brooklyn, you know, Durant for 3 years, Kyrie for four, whatever it winded up being when COVID happened, you did. You messed up. All right, you messed up. Because Karl Anthony Towns is not going to bring you a championship. Karl Anthony Towns scored 46 points last night, and you lost to the Bulls. You were down by 20 to the Bulls. You came back because Towns was hot. Towns doesn't play defense. Okay, at least Randall tried to play defense. Okay, Towns is too slow to play defense. I mean, don't get me wrong. Towns is at another world offensively, especially when it comes to big men. I mean, the guy can score with the best of them. But you completely took apart chemistry. Okay, chemistry was the main reason why you were good last year. Okay, and if you were able to stay healthy, who knows what would have happened? You might have beat Indiana. All right, and then you went out and you traded your future. Okay, you traded 5 first-round draft picks, a swap, and 3 players, okay, for Mikal Bridges, who is an average basketball player. Mikal Bridges scoring 20 points a game last year, or 25, whatever it was a game last year, was the culprit of someone has to score. And the ball was in his hands the majority of the time. It was either him or Cam Thomas. Okay, we're seeing it this year. The ball's in Cam Johnson's hand more. He's scoring more points per game. He's off to a career best. All right, so you traded 5 first-round picks and a swap for a guy that's an average basketball player. And I understood it because you were bringing, you know, the Nova Knicks. You were bringing Dante DiVincenzo and Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart and Mikal Bridges all together to play on the same team like they did in college where they won a national championship at Villanova. Okay? And then 2 months later, somewhere around 2 months, you go out and you trade the heart of your team in Dante DiVincenzo because he was the life of that team. He was the personality of that team, okay? And he was a main piece of your run last year. He was that reason. When Randall got hurt, he was, you know, he was the guy. He scored a lot of points. He hit a lot of threes, okay? He hit a lot of threes. And now you take your pure sharpshooter off of the team with another All-NBA player off of the team in Julius Randle, and you replaced it. And another first-round pick, by the way. Let's not forget that they traded another first-round pick. For Karl Anthony Towns, who everyone thought was going to come in and, you know, just solve all the issues that the Knicks had. Oh, there's going to be such great floor spacing. Well, guess what? There's not. Okay, Brunson looks awful. The team doesn't have an identity. Okay, they're just kind of going out there and they're kind of just playing. Can they put it together? Yes, it's still early. Okay, but they have no bench. Their bench is not very good. Quite frankly, Miles McBride is, you know, one of the better players on the team right now. Okay, because that guy can put the ball in the hoop. They miss Mitchell Robinson. They miss Precious Achiuwa. But even when those guys are back, are they really that deep? Does it really solve the issue of spacing the floor if you have to start Towns and Mitchell Robinson? One would think, you know, the Timberwolves were able to do it with Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, but I'm hearing that Robinson might come off the bench. Is that I don't know what the Knicks' answer is. If I had to guess, if the 500 ball continues, or if they fall below 500 for, you know, an extended period of time, the first person to go in all this is going to be Tom Thibodeau. They brought in Towns. Towns had, you know, some issues with Thibodeau back in Minnesota, and now he's reunited with him in New York, and things are not off to a great start in, you know, at Madison Square Garden. But on the other side of town, the Brooklyn Nets, they are overperforming. They're in every game very tightly, besides for last night. They got blown out. They got blown out to the best team in basketball, the Boston Celtics. And the Nets are going to do what every Net fan was scared of. You know, for the 10 of us that are out there, okay, me included, for the 10 Net fans that actually exist, our biggest fear was that the Nets would be mediocre. They would compete for a play-in, for a play-in spot, and their chances of getting Cooper Flagg, Bailey, or Harper would fall drastically. And that is exactly what's happening. So Sean Marks, probably not listening, but if you are, or if someone hears this and could get this to Sean Marks, tell him to trade everybody now. Trade Schroeder, trade Johnson, trade Dorian Finney-Smith. Get rid of Bogdanovich. You could hold on to Simmons because he's an expiring contract. Okay. And tank. Get some young talent. Get more draft picks. And play for the top three pick. Okay. In the next breath, as a fan, though, I'm a little concerned because of the lottery system. You know, I'd be punching air if the Nets sucked and they didn't get one of the top three picks or, you know, when it happened to the Knicks, when they were supposed to get the first pick in the draft and they got the third and they missed out on Zion and Ja Morant and they wound up with RJ Barrett, who's not even on the team anymore. If that happened to me as a Nets fan, I'd be very angry. So a part of me says, all right, Sean Marks, you see what the team's doing. They're competing. You have a ton of draft picks, okay? The Bucks got very lucky last night that a rookie missed two free throws as time expired, okay, to potentially win the game for Detroit, sending the game into overtime. The Bucks would have lost to Detroit at home, okay? But the Bucks were able to pull it off, all right? But I would watch that situation very, very closely, okay, in Milwaukee, and I would call the GM of the Bucks every single day, and I would say, hey, what's going on with Giannis? I would even go as far as to make an offer. Bleacher Report put something out where it was like 7 first-round picks, Ben Simmons, Jalen Wilson, and 2 swaps. If I'm the Nets, I do it in a heartbeat because you're not guaranteed one of those top three picks, but you at in that moment, you would be guaranteed Giannis. And Giannis himself won't make you a championship contender. It'll put you closer. But guess what? You have some money coming off the books. And you still would probably have some draft picks. You can go get somebody else to pair with him. Who that would be, I don't know. It could be Zach LaVine. Would the Nets be a dangerous team if they had Dennis Schroeder, Cam Johnson, Zach LaVine, Giannis, Nicholas Claxton? I think they would be. I think they would absolutely be a dangerous team. I think the chemistry would matter the most if they could put it together. But if the Nets would be able to find a way to turn this thing around that fast and find a way to get Zach LaVine and Giannis, Sean Marks deserves a round of applause. All right, that's going to be enough of the NBA discussion for the episode. I'm just going to look and see, you know, in the coming weeks how, you know, by the time, you know, we come back to you next week, the Knicks will have more games under their belt and so will the Nets. So it's going to go in one direction or the other by the time we record the next show. So just want to point that out. All right, now on the football. And, boy, was last week fun in the NFL. You had the Kansas City Chiefs blocking a kick to win. You had the Steelers winning due to inches on a fourth and 10. Okay. It's last week was a lot of fun. Okay. Yeah. Detroit coming back. Jared Goff, 5 interceptions. God, Detroit is a really good team. When your quarterback throws 5 interceptions and you still find a way to win a game, that's how you know that you have a championship contending team. Jared Goff is actually 4-0 in games where he throws 5 interceptions or more. Pretty interesting. Mike Tomlin, I'm going to owe you a big apology. This is why you are very well compensated. This is why you have the job title that you do, and this is why you've been the coach for the last 17, 18 years, and this is why you've never had a losing season. Because you were the only person in the world, besides you and Stephen A. Smith, okay, who wanted to see Russell Wilson in a Steeler uniform, see what he could do. After a 4-2 start with Justin Fields, who's only 25 years of age, you're going to need to know if you have to pay him or not. Okay, you're looking for a future. But Mike Tomlin said, we have T.J. Watt, we have Minkah Fitzpatrick, we have Cam Hayward, all on the defensive side of the football, not getting any younger. All right? Those are the three main pieces of your defense. We have a 35-year-old Hall of Fame quarterback just sitting here who threw 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions last year, and clearly was not a fit with his coach. And he said, we're going to throw you in the lineup. We're going to see what you can do. And boy, that first half of the Jet game was awful. But Beanie Bishop came in, made a sick interception. Russell Wilson led the team down the field, scored a touchdown, and the rest is history. 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. It's pretty remarkable. In 3 games, 3-0. Went to Washington, a 7-2 team on the road. Took him out with a lob to newly acquired Pittsburgh Steeler Mike Williams in the back of the end zone. Left the Jets, threw some shade at Aaron Rodgers in the postgame. Okay. And Aaron Rodgers actually coming out today saying that, yeah, he expects to play another year, but he's not too sure. Well, if you're a Jet fan and for everybody in the Jets organization, you better be hoping that he retires. All right, because, listen, he shows spurts of it. All right, but you need to go into a different direction. And quite frankly, you really need to just get the draft pick right. Like, you need to get the quarterback pick right. How many quarterbacks are we going to go through? Mark Sanchez, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson. How many times are the Jets going to take a quarterback and have it not turn out? If the Jets pick in the top 3 this year, the Jets need, or the top 5, and they have a chance to take one of the quarterbacks coming out of the draft, they cannot miss. They can't miss. I mean, it's not fair to the fans that go to the games every week, that follow it on television, that follow it all throughout the offseason. You're doing this, you're doing that, and then you continue to make the wrong pick. All right. Part of me thinks, is it the player, or is it the Jets as an organization, their ability to develop these guys? Because we're seeing Sam Darnold flourish right now in Minnesota. Granted, he had a bad week last week. We're seeing Geno Smith, who revitalized his career in Seattle. Okay, those are two, you know, of the Jets' first-round draft picks at the quarterback position that they've taken over the past decade, and or decade and a half, maybe, with Geno. You know, it worries me that they can't develop anybody, and they need to figure out why that is, and they need to get the right guys, the right coaches in to be able to develop a quarterback. Because if you take Quinn Ewers, Shador Sanders, or Cam Ward in this upcoming draft, okay, if the Jets have the ability to do that and they take it and it doesn't work out, if you're a Jet fan, you just got to give up all hope. There is nobody coming. Aaron Rodgers was supposed to be that guy. He wasn't. You just give up all hope. And if they wind up being good, then they wind up being good. Fantastic. The defense was the best defense in football last year. They can't make a tackle this year. The Jets are falling apart at the seams. They went out, they traded a 3rd-round pick with the potential to be a 2nd-round pick for Davante Adams, and Davante Adams can't catch. It's like what's going on here? Is this peewee football? I mean, the Jets, they get all these guys, they're all big names, and then they don't perform, or they get hurt. They actually took Le'Veon Bell from the Steelers a couple years ago. Le'Veon Bell, they gave him $80 million, $60 million, whatever it was, and he stunk. And I like Le'Veon Bell. But at what point in time does it just become the organization? And it's like, Jesus Christ, every single person, every single guy that this organization gets just winds up to stink. I mean, it really is nuts. And as for the Giants are a completely different story, because the Giants need a complete overhaul of everything, and maybe they could potentially get it right. I mean, the Giants are still a team that won, you know, 2 Super Bowls in the 2000s, and, you know, they were in the playoffs in 2016. You know, they drafted Odell Beckham. You know, they've had guys, Saquon Barkley. You know, they've at least had, you know, players that fans want to come and watch. Okay. Now they have Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers has a hands problem. Malik Nabers also gets hurt a lot. That's going to be a major issue. He has to stay healthy. But part of him staying healthy is the Giants getting him a real quarterback to throw him the football, so this way he's not put in the position to get hurt. Because the concussions will end his career very, very early. The Giants are going to have a top three pick in this draft. They lost to the Carolina Panthers in Germany this past Sunday. They have two wins. It's inevitable. The writing's on the wall. Daniel Jones, because of his injury, the clause in his contract where if he gets hurt, then they got to pay him the fully guaranteed money. Daniel Jones should never play another snap for the Giants. He should take a seat. Drew Locke should be inserted into the lineup. You should be careful with Malik Nabers, and you should start focusing on this upcoming draft and who your guy is going to be, okay? Because as much as every Giant fan might want it to be Arch Manning is not coming out in this draft, and there's no way the Giants don't take a quarterback with the top three pick. So you're going to have to be happy with Shador, okay? Because I could see a world where the Giants win three games this year. Yeah, they only win one more the rest of the way. Dable gets fired. Giants get the first pick. They take Shador and they hire Deion as the coach. Now, wouldn't that be something? Deion Sanders coaching the New York Giants and his son playing quarterback for the New York Giants. I know a lot of fans out there would not like that. But we have to look at it as this could be the reality of it. They really might wind up in New York together. If I'm taking the first pick in the draft, it's probably between Shador and Cam Ward. I don't like Quinn Ewers. I've never really been a Quinn Ewers guy. Listen, I think Carson Beck is gonna be overlooked. Carson Beck is a third round quarterback. Okay, Georgia's not actually. You know what? Right after I wrap up this thought, that's where we're gonna go. We're gonna go into the college football playoffs for a little bit. Quinn Ewers is not an NFL quarterback, in my opinion. I could be wrong. I would like to watch him a little bit more to see how he finishes up the year in college against, you know, some of the better teams. They got a big game against Texas A&M coming up. I'd like to see how he plays in that one. But, yeah, moving on now to college football. The playoff committee is making their decisions, and they got it right this week. Let me tell you, they sure did get it right, but these final playoffs, the playoff standings that they have now cannot be the final playoff standings because Boise State has to get in. Boise State or SMU. And they have to get in because they would be one of the one non-Power 5 conference team is guaranteed a spot. And Boise sits at 8-1, SMU sits at 8-1, and Army sits at 9-0. If Army beats Notre Dame, Army will make the college football playoffs. That's not going to happen. Notre Dame is going to smash them. Notre Dame, they had one really bad loss this year. They have to join a conference. They have to join a conference next year. They cannot play this schedule. And I'm a Notre Dame fan, but Notre Dame cannot play this easy of a schedule going forward. And when the format is like this, because one, you don't have a chance of getting a bye. And two, you don't know if you're good or not. You have two wins right now against top 20 teams, according to the committee. Okay, Texas A&M and Louisville. Louisville has three losses, okay? A&M, you played in week one. You lost at home to Northern Illinois. You haven't played anybody else since. No good teams. So we don't know if you're good or not. You deserve to be in because, you know, there is nobody else you could possibly put in over them, even though Notre Dame lost at home to Northern Illinois. There just is nobody else. You're not putting Kansas State in at 7-2. Colorado, I guess they have a chance to win the Big 12 and get in. They're a sneaky team. But right now, I think college football is as open now than it's ever been. I truly believe any team could win. Obviously, you're going to favor Ohio State and Texas and Georgia and Alabama, but they have been proven to be beatable. Would I be surprised if another team won? Absolutely not. I think a team like Indiana, I was wrong about them. They're a solid team. Penn State, to me, I don't think Penn State is that good. Yes, they said at 8-1, but I don't know. Penn State has a tendency to lose the big game, kind of like Notre Dame. Miami doesn't deserve to be in. Miami could have five losses, okay? And they just lost to Georgia Tech, okay? So let's not act like Miami is this powerhouse. I could absolutely see I mean, listen, the committee's not going to not put a one-loss Miami team in. They play Wake Forest and Syracuse. They're not going to lose, but they could lose the ACC championship game, though. That is a real possibility. Should be interesting to see where Texas A&M falls, because if Texas A&M beats Texas, if A&M wins out and they beat Texas, A&M has to get in. They would have to get in. Texas would have two losses. Okay, A&M would have two losses. How can you say that Texas deserves to be in over Texas A&M when they have the same amount of losses and you beat them? You did. You beat Texas A&M, beat them. Okay, and then the committee's going to have a huge problem on their hands when it comes to picking who gets in. They said that they went to the 12-team college football playoffs this way. They didn't have to go by records. This way they can go by the eye test. But if you're going to tell me that a team like A&M will beat Texas, they'll have the same amount of losses. They're both SEC. One's an SEC team, and no, they're both SEC teams, actually. Texas and the SEC. They're both SEC teams. You're going to tell me that A&M doesn't deserve to be in over them just because right now they currently sit at number three? Doesn't make sense. This is the most interesting year when it comes to college football and where their playoffs, how they're going to pick, you know, who goes where, how they decide who get. I mean, right now Notre Dame sits at eight, but you could very well see them moving to number five because BYU could win the Big 12 and, you know, Indiana could win the Big 10. Not saying it's going to happen, but it could happen. Okay, right now you have three Big 10 teams in the top five. It's not going to stay like that. It can't stay like that. Someone's going to play in the Big 10 championship game. Someone's going to lose, and the loser of that Big 10 championship game may very well get knocked out. Who knows? Who knows what the committee's going to do? This upcoming Saturday is going to be very, very interesting to see. You know, Clemson could get eliminated if they lose to Pittsburgh. You know, Texas doesn't have a walkover game either this week. They play Arkansas. SMU plays Boston College. Boston College could potentially eliminate them. Penn State's going to roll versus Purdue because Purdue stinks. Missouri versus South Carolina, not really, you know, any like big implications there. The big playoff implication is Tennessee versus Georgia. That is going to be the game at 7:30 Eastern time that everybody has their eyes on, because if Georgia loses, Georgia is out. Georgia's out, okay? Tennessee could very well be out as well if they lose, because that would put them at, that would have them at two losses. Okay, this is 12 versus 7. Georgia sits at 12. Georgia is fighting for their life at home. I think Georgia blows them out. I don't think Tennessee is that good, but it would certainly be something to see Tennessee go into Georgia and upset the Bulldogs. That would be great college football. All right. Now we're going to move on to college basketball. And I just want to real quick talk about one game that, in specific, that I watched, Kentucky versus Duke. That kid, Cooper Flagg, he's a stud. But he cost his team at the end of the game with two costly turnovers. Got to be smarter than that. Okay, you got to realize that you have other players on your team and that you don't always have to be the hero. That's all I want to say about that. I thought Duke had a chance to go undefeated. Clearly, they don't. Kentucky, they had a bunch of guys who have never played together on the same team for the first, playing together for the first time, and they found a way to beat Duke. College basketball should be very interesting this year. Very excited. All right, so it looks like we're not going to get the baseball. We'll get the baseball next week. Hopefully by the time the episode's coming next week, Juan Soto has his destination. Could be with the Yankees, could be with the Mets, could be with the Red Sox. We're here in the Red Sox, potentially. Could be with Toronto. Who knows? Who knows where Juan Soto's going to land? And hopefully we have some more clarification on, you know, the final teams and the running by the time we record the show next week and it comes to you. All right, Yankees, go get Christian Walker. Go get Pete Alonso. Can't sit around. Can't worry about Juan Soto right now, okay? You got to make sure that you fill out the rest of your team. The money shouldn't be an issue, okay? You go out, you get your first baseman, and you get Juan Soto, and you're right back in the World Series this time again next year, okay? All right, moving on. It's time to make my picks of the week. Remember, if you want to register, go to foxsportsnewjersey.com. Sign up with your email and make your picks today. Picks this week. All right, we got tonight, the Commanders versus the Eagles. I'm going with the Washington Commanders. I think the Commanders are going to go into Philly, and I think they're going to shock a lot of people. The Commanders are going to show that they're a real team tonight. Okay, they're going to show, and I really do think that they may win, and they may win handedly, actually. I do think that this could be, you know, a two-possession, you know, football game when, you know, the final score is coming across your screen at the bottom when you're watching ESPN tomorrow morning. Yeah, I think Jaden Daniels is going to have a big game, so I'm going with the Washington Commanders. All right, we got the Ravens and the Steelers in Pittsburgh, 1 o'clock. I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers, I expect the Steelers and Baltimore to split, so I'm going to give the Steelers the first game at home against Baltimore. It's their first divisional game of the year. The Steelers are 7-1 against Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is 1-7 against them. Mike Tomlin seems to own them. The Steelers just played a Lamar Jackson-esque quarterback in Jaden Daniels last week. Not comparing the two, as Mike Tomlin said, they're, you know, completely different. But this play style is a little bit similar, and they were able to limit Daniels on the ground. So I think it's going to be – could potentially be a shootout. I'm looking at a shootout in Pittsburgh on Sunday afternoon. Colts-Jets. I'm going to roll with the Colts. Anthony Richardson back at the helm. I just think the Jets are just done. Even though they're four-point favorites, I just think they're done. Yep, that's all I have to say about that. I'm not going to get into the Jets. They're just finished. The Vikings and the Titans. I'm going to roll with the Vikings. Browns-Saints. That's a tough one. In New Orleans, I'm gonna go with the Saints. Jaguars-Lions, not even a question. Going the Lions. Packers and Bears. See, this is a tough one. This is an interesting one. In Chicago, I'm going to take the Packers. Raiders, Dolphins, got to go Miami. Miami's a scary team that could sneak into the playoffs and, you know, beat one of those top teams. If I'm, you know, a top of the AFC, I do not want to see Tua and Tyreek Hill and Devon Achane and Jalen Waddle in the playoffs. Absolutely not. And Jalen Ramsey, no thank you. Then you got the Rams and the Patriots. The Rams are going to take this one pretty handily. I think they bounce back this week, and they defeat New England in New England. All right, moving on to the 4 o'clock slate. We got the Falcons versus the Broncos. The Broncos are favorites. This game is in Denver. I'm going to say the Falcons, though, go into Denver. It's a little bit of a letdown game after almost beating Kansas City last week and losing in Kansas City to a blocked field goal. Yeah, that really sucked. I was hoping that they would win and that Steelers would be able to be playing on Christmas potentially for the number one seed, but they had other plans. All right. Seahawks and the 49ers in San Francisco. I think Seattle goes into San Francisco and beats San Francisco. Game of the week, Chiefs-Bills. Bills are favorite in Buffalo. I'm going to roll with my man, Patrick Mahomes. I think he gets the job done again. And I think the Chiefs stay undefeated. Bengals-Chargers. Going to roll with the Bengals here in L.A. I think the Bengals, though, I think the Bengals are going to put up some points. And I think the Bengals are going to come away with another win, unfortunately, because I do not want to see the Bengals either. There are teams at the bottom of the AFC right now that could sneak into the playoffs and be very, very dangerous to some of those top teams, like the Dolphins, like the Bengals. Monday Night Football, we got this is a snooze fest, Texans and Dallas. I'm going to roll with the Texans, and that's pretty much it. That's a snooze fest. All right, well, this was another pretty good episode of Keeling's Corner, even though we're without Mikey. Yeah, I mean, we'll be back next week. Hopefully Mike will be back with us, and the week after that is Thanksgiving, so we can evaluate you know, the NFL up until that point, and we can evaluate the Nets and the Knicks up until that point, and we'll be looking, you know, to come back to you next week and see where things stand with Juan Soto. All right, everybody, see you next week. Keeling's Corner, out.